Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano.
And by
Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here, and along with Corey Sandin, Rock Cod Rick, and Corey will be doing the show tomorrow morning as I head for the Loretto Rumble. And looking forward to that. But you guys, Rick will be fresh back from Lake El Salto, his big trip down there with Frank Presti. And I know they whacked him, so get a full report on that tomorrow, 7 to 9 a.m. But in the meantime, Corey and myself are here hosting Captain John Conniff from the Islander. Great show here. Tons of phone calls, tons of texts. We're going to get to them. But first, we're going to get to the catch report, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros at the market, you can purchase the famous spices, the rubs, the poke kits. Stop by their location in Old Town and Taylor Street, or you can order online at fishermansprocessing.com. And we've been saying this and saying this, be sure to make your reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128. It's the only way to make a reservation by texting.
Yeah, and I talked to Sean and Melanie the other day. I was over at Fisherman's Processing, and they said that there are dates that are already full, so that they can't even take any more reservations. So get those reservations. If you have a trip booked, you book a trip on the Islander next week to go in, or this week to go in May on when is this available trip.
Right.
Next call should be the Fisherman's Processing or text.
And if they can fit you in, you're going to get a text.
You're
going
to get in there. Yeah, for sure. Hey, Captain Mark Wish, our private boater buddy with our FishDope.com report. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, Mark. Morning, Pete, Corey, John. Fun stuff this morning listening to you guys. So this was an interesting week for sure, with the better weather outside and some biting fish, which has been a little scarce. And, biting fish is a good thing to have when you do a weekly fish report. So I'm glad things are coming together here. But starting outside there was still some weather up on the outside there at Nicholas for few days the early part of the week, but it's nice now. No small craft warnings or nothing. And the rockfish, lingcod, sheephead fishing out there, that population's very healthy, and they're just out there waiting for you. No word on any gamesters yet, but it's still a bit early for that island. At Santa Barbara Island, got the word that some of the commercial fleet is making a little bit of squid there, and that bodes well and checks with an early season rumor that I got about yellows and sea bass biting out there. So with this good weather this weekend, I got customers there for sure, and we'll get a good check from the little island there. Or at Catalina, man, it's been a slow start for sure, but it's slowly shaking off them wintertime doldrums. There's been a few sea bass here and there, a couple of good catches, but not a lot. And some stellar halibut fishing up on the beaches. Man, they're biting this year, shallow water there. And sprinkle yellows here and there, that's way behind schedule getting started, but it's just different springtime here than we've seen. The best bait fishing for squid there has been both backside east and backside west. It was up the west last night there. And, it is mid-April, guys, and a few days before the dark of the moon. And this is prime time for that sea bass fishing. Along with the nice weather, I would expect some good fishing to be had over there this weekend. At Clemente, good rock fishing, but like Catalina, a little slow getting started on the surface gamesters there. That water's cold over there at Clemente. Not much on yellows and sea bass there yet. And offshore, oh boy, them bluefins are biting, guys. It's mostly school-sized fish there, 20 to 40s. A few better ones up like 60 like that mixed in. There's been a few bait fish, but a high percentage of that fish is being caught on the jigs there. Some days it's a little bit here and there daytime, but definitely better at night. It was some big hits last night, I was told. And with the better weather, I'm sure the private boat fleet's going to be down there full speed, and I'm sure a lot of those guys will be trolling around the Mad Max and probably swimming some flying fish. So we'll see if there's some of that bigger fish around. They seem to respond a little better to that. And that area where those guys are fishing, you know, kind of starts at the upper hidden down to the double 220 and out toward the 390, like that, kind of a little triangle. It's a pretty good size area of fish. And again, with better weather, we're going to have much better coverage and a lot more boats fishing. So we're going to get a much better check on what's going on down there. And as a grand finale, this is near and dear to my heart. NOAA has put us on an El Nino watch. All the signs are pointing toward a good one for this summer and fall. So we got all those fish around, and we're going to have some of that warm water stuff mixing in. And I think we're set for another stellar season, guys. It's time to go fishing.
I like it. Yeah. Listen to the report this week compared to last week,
right?
Man. There's a lot to talk about right there, for sure.
Yeah.
And fishdope.com, Danny and the boys have all the information for you. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW. And you know, Mark, Western Outdoor News has on the front cover big halibut, man. And I guess the halibut fishing has been really good, like you said. So you want to read more about it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, that fishing over at the island for the guys that, you know how to do it a little bit, man, it's been really good this year. You know, the past few years have been pretty good, but this year is even better. And, you know, it's that fish just gives hardly any pressure at Catalina at all. And, man, over here, I've caught some tankers there. It's a fun deal. And they don't move. They're always there. So
Yeah. So you want to read about it. Western Outdoor News has some good information in there. And in addition, they have a full feature on Fishmas, of course, the trout opener up in the Eastern Sierra. I would vote to go halibut fishing, the sea bass fishing, or tuna fishing rather than going up the Fishmas, because everything's frozen up there.
Literally frozen.
Literally frozen. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to hear on April 29th what it's going to be like up in the Eastern Sierra. But if you want to check that out, Western Outdoor News has all the information for you. And, Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, yeah, I agree with you. They can have that fishing through the ice to catch a trout. Not my style.
Me either.
But, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica at Hettinger by the Chevron station. And phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And we just put a bunch of new pictures up. We were looking for pictures last night per article that is coming out here before too long. Man, we used to catch a lot of fish. I need to go fishing a little bit more after all that history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, great report. Good talking to you, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
All right. Thanks for that great report. Fantastic. And while we're waiting for Marcos, that guy on the radio over at Seaforth, you know
right?
him? Yeah. We got Mike Lum to talk about Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Sounds like a lot's going on. The weather is really cooperating.
Awesome. Finally get some good weather, and look what happens. See, and we heard Dave Brown talking about this big Akuma Rollo promotion going on. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, a big part of Rollo's funding each year is our annual raffle, where we give away 30 fantastic prizes. We've been selling tickets off and on for months, and we're getting to the end. April 29th is the big drawing, so Akuma wanted to help us with a final push of raffle ticket sales. So what they've done is they've donated $2,000 worth of Akuma fishing tackle in the form of a shopping spree, which means whoever the winner is going to get to pick and choose what he wants, up to $2,000 directly from Akuma, and that's fantastic. So the way that you get involved in that special drawing is you buy 5 general raffle tickets. They're $10 a piece, so you spend $50. Of course, you're entered into the chance to win all those great prizes on April 29th, but for every 5 tickets, we're going to put your name in the hat for 1 ticket to win this Akuma shopping spree. So it costs $50 to get involved. You'll get a chance at winning that Akuma shopping spree, and then you'll be involved in the big grand raffle.
So
that's
wait
a very
minute.
Generous
so if
offer.
If I buy 20 tickets, I get 4 chances into the $2,000 Akuma raffle?
Yes. Yeah, wow. There's no limit. There's no limit. If somebody wanted to buy more, it's you're going to get 1 chance at the Akuma shopping spree for every 5 tickets that you buy. And I know there have been a lot of guys that have bought tickets over the months during different things that we've been doing, different promotions, and we really appreciate that. But if you want a shot at this Akuma package, You need to buy five more tickets, and then you'll be involved in this. We'll do that drawing on April 29th, just before we draw all 30 of the winners.
And though I should add, check the list out at RolloKids.org. The list of prizes is unbelievable, including $2,000 in gas at Summit Gasoline, and while you're using that $2,000, all the ice you want.
Are you kidding?
It's just one of the prizes. But there's trips on the Shogun. There's trips on the Royal Polaris. There's trips going to Katmai Lodge. There's a trip to Katmai Lodge on there. So not only with this promotion do you get the chance to get the $2,000 Akuma deal, but you get the chance to win all 30 and any 30. You could win all 30. Yeah, right? You could win multiple prizes. You buy 30 tickets. Every ticket hits. You could win all 30, right?
Can you imagine?
Well, you know what? What we do is that the first 10 tickets we draw, we set those aside, and we keep track of the order that they get drawn. And then those 10 people get to select from what they want from the list. And then after we get done with those top 10, then, you know, we go ahead and draw for the other items. But there are so many good prizes on there, we're going to have a hard time deciding what the top 10 are. But
yeah, no kidding.
That's how we're going to do
say.
It.
For sure. Well, all right. So how do we get in on this last chance to get in on the grand raffle and win that $2,000 Akuma shopping spree?
Well, I appreciate that. That's very easy. What you do is you call 909-223-9631. That's 909-223-9631. And that's Tim Baker's phone. Call that, and if he doesn't pick up, which he probably won't because he's busy, leave your name and telephone number, and he'll call you back, and he'll sell you your tickets. You can also send him a email, tim@rollokids.org, tim@rollokids.org, and let him have your name and phone number. He'll call you back. And we have to do it this way because we reside in California. And in California, we are not allowed to sell raffle tickets online. So we have to do it over the phone. And it's difficult, but it works. And Tim does a great job getting back to everybody. So if you want tickets, call him at 909-223-9631 and tell him how many tickets you want, and he'll take care of it.
Or tim@rollokids.org, and you have basically 2 weeks left to buy those tickets and get in on this drawing. Mike, thank you very much for all your hard work to raise money to take kids fishing. And don't forget, every dollar you send over is going to go to taking kids fishing. So thanks to all your support, and all our listeners have been really fantastic. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Talk to you soon. Hey, got a great text here from Big Ed, and he said he used to fish the Islander with Mark and Paul way back in the day, and it was and he did several trips, 10-day trips out of 22nd Street Landing with them. And are you still able to fish all the way down the coast and the lower banks in the ridge? And what's the longest trip you have this year?
So we're still able to, but we don't do those trips. The year before last, we had a 6-day trip where we went down to the ridge. You know, we'll do up to 6-day trips for charters. But as you guys know, a lot of the places that we fish up and down the coast are no longer available to us. And that, you know, the loss of Cedros and Bonitas changed our outlook on those longer trips. We used to do a lot of 5-day trips.
We used
to fish at Guadalupe, and I've been with you on the boat to
Cedros. Absolutely.
And Bonitas, but not being able to fish at those three points changed that dramatically for us. And the boat did used to do 10-day trips, you know, in reality, in comparison to all these long-range boats, it's not perfectly set up for that. It does not carry the fuel, doesn't carry the bait. It doesn't have the fish hold space necessarily for a big 10-day trip.
A 10-day.
Yeah, so we stopped running those longer trips, but... you know, if a group wants to charter a 5-day trip or a 6-day trip, I'll talk with them and we'll figure out exactly what they're looking for. And we still do those, but you know,
like you've done charters before where, because you're such an outdoor guy, where you take surfers and fishermen together and you go down and surf and fish and just have a good time down the bottom.
How cool is that?
Past.
Yeah,
we did a 21-day trip up into the Gulf years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, we've done a lot of those combo trips.
Yeah. So, and you're open for charter, right? So if somebody wants to charter the whole boat,
Sure.
You'll customize a charter for somebody.
Yeah. I mean, our charter schedule this year is pretty full. There's a whole lot of new three-day trips that charter groups that we've added to the schedule this year. But, yeah, no, we do a ton of charters.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's continue the catch report.
Let's do it. We've got the one and only that guy from the radio, Marcos. Yeah. Marcos from C4 Sport Fishing. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys all doing?
Doing good.
Well, besides a little surprise day of weather a couple days ago there where the wind kicked up a bit, had some pretty good fishing this week. Things are starting to definitely heat up. Polaris Supreme, we'll start, you know, work our way down there. Earlier in the week, they returned from a two-day with 88 bluefin for their 22 anglers.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, they came back with limits for their two-day for their trip. So definitely seeing some bluefin kind of waking up and starting to bite down there. San Diego, fishing the islands a couple days ago, they saw some signs. Seven anglers had 6 yellowtail and some good bottom fishing. Yesterday, they had 15 yellowtail on the boat, saw some other ones that they lost there. So also down at the islands, things are starting to kind of go the way we expect here as we get into the middle of April, kind of approaching May. A little later starting last year, but it's headed the same direction. Looks like we're going to have some good fishing. Those half-day trips on the new Seaforth, again, nice mix of deep water in the morning and a little shallow in the afternoon, but very good rockfish, reds, and some other bottom fish mix in there. So things are right on track. And like I said, as long as the weather cooperates, it's going to keep getting better from here on out. So definitely check the website, seaforthlanding.com. There's half days up there. The San Diego has its full days scheduled up there. And they put up some trips later in the year. And as of right now, in June, their sales will start going offshore. That could obviously change either way, depending on how conditions change. But I know if you don't have a passport and you're waiting for some trips that don't require that, right now it's something like June and on. Those day-and-a-half trips, we got some day-and-a-halfs up there. We got some boats out today, so we'll see how they do. And actually, the Highliner is running their first trip out of the landing, so we'll see how they do also, in addition to the Pacifica. So check that out. You can make your reservations directly online. You can just call at the office, 619-224-3383. More than happy to help you guys out, get your own trip, and get you out there fishing.
And I actually saw some of that quality reds at the new Seaforth, the half-day boat fishing, I guess when the weather allows, fishing the 9-mile bank. Man, some of those reds. Like,
ooh, well, the new depth restrictions, man. They
right?
can fish new territory.
I mean, legit. That's,
those fish haven't seen a bait in decades.
Legit, yep. 4-pound yeah. reds.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
There's definitely some new spots. Well, old spots reopened back up, I guess. But yeah, some, like you said, some areas that haven't been fishing in a while. So very good fishing on there. You know, you want to have a little barbecue, have some fish talk or something like that. Definitely a good trip to get on there.
Count me in.
All right. Hey, Marcos, how do we find you at Seaforth?
Seaforthlanding.com. Got our full schedule up there for those half days, the full days, the 1 days, day and a half. All of those trips are up there. I guess call the office, 619-224-3383. Come down, visit us in person, say hi. We can get you out on a trip, and you can pick up all your MC swim baits, which is what, again, everything is being caught on. Bluefin, you know, rockfish, all of it, yeah. So. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Any color.
Freshwater bass to big bluefin, you can catch them on AMC swim bait.
Absolutely. There you go. Exactly.
Checks in the mail.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Marcos, and we will talk to you next Saturday.
We'll talk to you next Saturday, guys.
All right. Appreciate that. Phones are packed. They want to talk to Captain John, so let's do it.
Let's do it. How about Jim? Jim Cole from National City. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Corey. The question I have for John, I want to touch a couple of other things first. I had mentioned Bob Dawson. You know, I purchased that insurance plan from him this year, and I had to use it on a two-day trip that I couldn't make, two-and-a-half-day trip. And, you know, he was just so helpful, him and his other business partner, Christy. They were just so helpful, you know, taking me through the process. I got a complete refund of over $700, no maintenance fee by the parent company, full recovery of my deposit. And Bob Dawson runs a great outfit there, him and Christy and Bob's daughter also. I had to mention that.
No,
I got to also mention
trip insurance is a great thing to have. And I'm sure, John, on the Islander, you guys always recommend the trip insurance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to mention, Pete, I got to talk about my buddy Roberto, Jeff Roberto down here at Coyote's Market. You know, I got a poke bowls, a couple of them the other day. That bluefin was outstanding. You know, Jeff always gets the best fish. he works together with Sean back and forth. They take care of each other like many of your fishing people work together. But anyway, yeah, Jeff Roberto, that poke bowl was over the top.
Oh, yeah.
But now my question
is none better than that. Hey, Jim, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that. You have a great text, huh?
Yeah, I do. And here we go back to the nighttime thing, John. It's a question that comes from Dan. Didn't leave where he's from, but he's 760 area code. It says, hi, guys. Just a quick question. For the nighttime fishing with the knife jigs, et cetera, since the fish are mainly in the 30 to 60-pound range, what pound test are you fishing? Can I get away with 60 to 80-pound setup?
This is a good question.
I would stick with 100-pound.
Yeah. Just have your
130-pound. Yeah. I mean, I know a couple of these guys last night had 80-pounders. 85-pounders, I mean, like we said earlier, I remember specifically last year we were just railing those 20, 30-pounders, and it was some kid with his dad. He dropped down and caught a 205-pounder right in the middle of all.
Like in the middle of it all. Do you ever see that? I mean, a question for me, do you ever see, like, the bigger fish hanging below below the smaller ones? Or,
sure.
Or see it on the meter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's no real advantage to lightening your line. I mean, other than maybe it's a little less taxing on yourself winding that heavier gear up and down. But as far as the fishing goes, it's not like lighter line at 2 in the morning is going to make a difference at 300 feet down. So
yeah,
at
nighttime.
Stick with heavier line.
Because you never know.
Yeah, you get a 200-pounder, you don't want to hook that thing on 60-pounds.
No.
Likelihood
of getting that is like about maybe a half a percent.
Yeah, and even a 60, 80-pounder, it's nighttime. You want to get that thing to the boat. The quicker you get it to the boat, the more you're going to avoid tangles, nausea, nonsense. The more you get them on the boat, and then you move on to the next stop. It's nighttime is designed for heavy gear, period.
Yeah, typically at night, it's a quick hit, right? You meter the fish, you get down, you go it, and then you go to the next one, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you get one to stick, which obviously is ideal, where that fish stays under the boat. As long as we see fish under the boat, 99.9% of the time we're not moving. But a lot of times at night, you know, you get that first whack where you just get flooded, and then it moves on. But it's not, you know, we're not going to sit there and plunk for 3 hours or anything. It's you're on the move, on the hunt.
Does a bluefin move? And this is a question for me again. During the day, that stuff can squirt out and move 3 or 4 knots and, like literally move fast, but at night, is it calmer? Does it?
Sometimes it'll just park and you can get right on it. But there's nights where you're
chasing,
you're doing 8 or 9 knots with the sonar trying to track that thing down.
Wow.
For sure. I mean, I think overall, I think it moves a little bit slower at night. You see those breezers or those spots up high during the day where they get super squirrely. You know, you get on a big school at night, I think a lot of times it's a little more approachable. But, yeah, they still move around at night.
Wow, interesting.
So Gabriel texted us from Ventura area, and he says, would the Islander ever come to the Channel Islands and go fishing?
I mean, theoretically, if there was I don't think under my ownership I'm going to move it up to the Channel Islands and start running out of the Channel Islands, even though I love it up there. But, yeah, theoretically, if there's fish up that way, I mean, we've certainly gotten close the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I mean, a lot of fish pushed up that way during some parts of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were up in the, you were actually, you are fishing the Channel Islands because San Clemente and Catalina are the Channel Islands. So Santa Barbara, the whole area.
Right.
But he's talking about the northern Channel Islands, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long, I don't know the mileage, but that's a long way.
And really, a lot of the boats in the Channel Islands that they're fishing bluefin are heading south, and they're going southwest.
Yeah, like I don't see us up there yellowtail fishing or sea bass fishing.
Yeah. But I understand that sea bass fishing is starting to happen. Chauncey Prial, he said that he got on some.
Such a cool guy.
Yeah, great guy. So he said, he texted me, he said, we got the first sea bass of the year up here. So they're biting.
Yeah.
Time to go fishing up there for sure. Hey, let's jump back in the phones, Corey.
Let's do it. How about Bill? Bill calling from San Diego. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us on Let's Talk Hiccup, Bill.
Good morning. I was calling about the staterooms on the boat. I have 2 teenage daughters, and they're getting into fishing with me. So I heard you mentioned you had staterooms, and that's kind of my question. And do you think the way fishing is these days, is it good to, you know, it's a lot of nighttime fishing. So, but that was my question. How would I set that up?
Yeah, good question. Yeah.
No,
bring those daughters fishing.
Yeah, and we've got you know, if the three are going to stay together, we have three-person rooms. And if they don't want to stay with Dad, we've got two-person rooms. So, yeah, we have – it's all staterooms, anywhere from a couple two-person rooms, mostly three-person, and then I think one four-person room.
And typically what's your load?
This year on day and a half, we're taking 28, and then on three-day trips, we're taking 26. I think two-day trips were 28 as well.
So that's possibility of having anywhere from two to four people on each stateroom.
Yes.
And you, if you get signed up early enough, you can get the stateroom that you choose.
Yeah, if you call Fisherman's Landing to sign up, it's pretty much first come, first serve. So if you actually, if you go to our website, islandersportfishing.com, there's a schematic of the room, so you can check it out. If you want a two-person room, three-person room, you can figure out which one that is, and then you can request it when you sign up.
Yeah, super. And they all have sinks in them and super comfortable, right?
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I've been on a lot of these boats over the decades, right? And super comfortable. Like, it's one of my favorite boats for comfort, you know, whether you're in your stateroom or whether you're in the galley with fellow anglers or you're on the deck. There's so much room and it's comfortable. And I have to say that painting you have of the white shark up forward in the galley
is badass.
I mean, that thing is killer.
Yeah, that was a local guy from Ocean Beach.
Yeah, for us. Pretty amazing. But, yeah, super comfortable staterooms. Yeah. And the key is book your trip. And then when you book the trip, book online. And then call Fisherman's Landing after you book that trip online. Or you can call them and book it on the phone, too. And then tell them, I booked this trip, and I want to book a stateroom for myself on that trip. And they'll take care of it, right?
They will.
Yeah. You can't book the stateroom online.
You cannot.
Yeah. So you have to call them to do that.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot.
Yeah.
Super comfortable riding. One of the best.
Oh, super good. Yeah, because it's all that Dittmar Donaldson wood boat, just like the Searcher. They're both, like, super quiet, super comfortable.
Yeah, they're big, heavy boats.
Yeah.
They do well in weather.
I like those. Those big Dittmars are pretty
good. Yeah, they're classic. It's cool. There's three of them tied up in a row right now.
That's right, yeah. Liberty, Searcher, and the Islander, right?
That's it.
Yeah. And which one? The Searcher's the oldest, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, and the Islander would come next after that?
God,
probably.
No,
I don't know. Yeah, but they're all that era.
We're 68.
All right. Yeah, so you're in that same era.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Such neat history. I love it. Hey, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice with John from the Islander. Turn on the Let's Talk Hook Up after Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, we're so lucky here in San Diego. We have fantastic weather and great fishing. We also have three great shops to take care of anglers. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We call it the one-stop shopper, a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by Johnny, is certainly one of the best. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna. Plus, we have Doug, one of the finest reel repair guys around. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. Jeet and the guys have the best rod and reels, the hottest lures, and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, growing their stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
This is Dave Brown with Okuma Fishing Tackle, and I wanted to personally tell you about a great opportunity to own the latest in Okuma products. Okuma Fishing Tackle is donating a $2,000 shopping spree to benefit the Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea organization, and one lucky winner will be able to choose any of the products from the Okuma lineup. Okuma is a proud sponsor of the Rollo program, and we wanted to create an exciting promotion that would benefit Captain Rollo's ability to get more kids fishing. Entering the $2,000 giveaway is easy. Just buy 5 Rollo Grand Raffle tickets and you will receive one entry into the drawing. The winner will be drawn on April 29th. To purchase tickets, contact Tim at RolloKids.org or call Tim at 909-223-9631. That's 909-223-9631. Good luck to everyone and thank you for support of Okuma and the Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea program.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
As the inventor and world leader in fluorocarbon, Seaguar has you covered with 4-liter choices to help you catch more fish. Gold Label is Seaguar's thinnest and strongest leader. Fluoro Premier has a thin diameter with high break strength and softness. Blue Label is tough as nails with incredible abrasion resistance and impact strength. And Pink Label is the choice for tough light conditions. From 2 pounds to 400 pounds, pick up a spool of Seaguar at your favorite tackle dealer or visit Seaguar.com. Great fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea-Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. Such an exciting show. Lines are full. I was going to give you the number, but if you want to text us, you can do it that way. We're giving away a $300 certificate to Costa Del Mar. Really cool deal.
Cool. So, for sure. You can win a pair of Costa sunglasses, get some clothing and stuff like that. $300 goes to either a texter or a caller. Yeah, the number 213-432-1090. Like Corey said, they're all full right now, but just keep on trying. Hey, right now we're going to talk to Ted from Gamakatsu. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, Ted.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey, doing terrific. You know what? We're pretty excited down here because we're finally getting the weather we want here in Southern California, and the bluefin are biting. And I know you came down last summer and experienced some of that, and I'll bet you're ready to catch some more.
Oh, definitely. Love to get back down there. You guys have had the kind of weather we have up here in Washington for the last month or two. So
yeah,
I'm sure you're ready for some sunshine.
And I think officially we've L.A. received more rain than Seattle. So there you go for the winter.
I think you're right. I think I read that somewhere. So that's pretty ironic, actually.
It is pretty crazy. But, hey, the good news is fish are biting, and they're biting those Gamakatsu hooks. And, boy, those Nautilus circle hooks have just been a game changer for a lot of guys, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think those hooks have really set the bar for, you know, what people are looking for a real, you know, a hook that's going to, you know, guarantee for a lot of people, myself included, a fish of a lifetime. You know, there's a lot of folks that go out there and don't get a chance to do it as much as some of us. And, boy, when you've got a trophy like that on the line, that's the one place you don't want to scrub.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But today you want to talk about the new knives that have come into the Gamakatsu lineup, right?
That's correct. I mean, we, you know, doing high-end carbon steel is something we've done for a very long time with our hooks, and we're very good at it. We thought it would be a very natural progression for us to get into the knife market. And so what we've done is we've launched two different versions. So we've got fillet knives, and then we have EDC knives. And EDC stands for, those of us that don't know, an everyday carry knife. So there's a lot of us out there that do carry a knife every day, and we decided to do both. But what I think I'd like to talk about first is the fillet knives. I think, you know, for a lot of us, we go out and catch and want to clean our own fish, and having a good knife is really important. And what we did with these is we wanted to do something a little bit different than you see a lot of the knives that are out there. So the one thing we've got four different styles of fillet knives. There's a 6-inch, which is our smallest, and that 6-inch knife's kind of designed for that smaller fish, smaller applications. Then we did a 7-inch knife that has a spoon on it. So I know you, Pete, you go up to Alaska a lot, and there's a lot of listeners that fish for salmon, and that spoon on the end really, really nice for, you know, removing that bloodline. You know, I don't know if you've had any, you know, experience doing that, but that's a real nice feature doing it.
For sure. No, that's a nice knife. And, you know, I really like that 6-inch size, too, because you don't see a lot of 6-inch fillet knives shaped that way. And sometimes you need that little smaller blade to get in on, like, cutting rockfish or some of the smaller fish or even some of the bigger fish, too. I mean, look at Raymond over at Fisherman's Processing. He uses a 6-inch all the time for 200-pound tuna.
Right.
Yeah, and there's a lot of guys I've talked to since we launched the knives that like to prefer that smaller knife just because they can get a little bit more intricate, you know, as they're getting in to remove, you know, the bones and different things like that. So there's a lot of guys that like that. And then the next one is the 7.5 inch. So that's a little bit more of a longer, flexible blade. And it's really designed to be able to get really that thin profile blade really makes it very flexible yet still stiff enough to come through the fish knives. And the last one is our 9 inch, and I think that's probably going to be a fairly popular size, particularly for, you know, the Southern California market, because that 9 inch has got a nice curved blade on it. And it's got the Granton edge. And what that Granton edge is it's basically little dimples or scallops along the edge of the knife. I'm sure some of us have had knives in our kitchen. The Japanese knives were very popular with that style of edge, and the advantage that has is that the dimple that's in the edge of the blade creates a little air pocket between the food and the blade, so that allows for better food release and prevents the food or what you're doing from getting shredded and torn. So it comes through those nice moist fillets really nice, especially like the salmon. That really helps a lot with that style of fish. So that one's been real popular as well amongst the people that have started, you know, they've been purchasing them.
Yeah, no, and we saw them both at the PCS show and the Bart Hall show. Rick and his gang were there displaying those, and they just look fantastic and can't wait to cut through some fish with those knives. Now, the everyday carry knives are also pretty amazing. There's several different everyday carry knives that are available too, right?
We did four different versions. You know, again, this is our first foray into this, and so we worked closely with the design team to develop all of these. So we were all fans of knives ourselves in the office, and when we decided to do this, and so it was really important to us that we went with a spring assist opening version. They have a little flipper mechanism on them to make them very easy to open. So every one of them features the flipper mechanism with the spring assist opening. We use D2 steel. That's a very good tool steel. It sharpens well. It holds an edge well. It's very durable, and that's kind of what we wanted on this first introduction of the knives. And we did a variety of sizes and finishes. You know, we've got a stainless steel handle on them with, like, a blue wash finish. That's the one I've got them sitting here on my desk. It's funny. I've been accused of, my wife would say, with purse or shoes, accessorizing with my different outfits or whatever you're wearing to have a different knife you're carrying, right?
Got to have the right knife, yeah. The one of the knives that was really intriguing was with that carbon steel outside. It's super lightweight, too, that I saw in Rick's booth there.
Exactly. So we did a Blackhawk side finish. That's actually got what's called a tanto blade. So it's got a little bit of a different point on it. You can see these on gamakatsu.com. We've got real nice images up there, but that tanto blade, it's got a black oxide finish, so it's got a real nice finish on the blade itself, and it's a G10 and carbon fiber overlay. So that carbon fiber makes it really light, but it still feels good in the hand. So it lightens it up, but it makes it extremely strong.
Sounds so cool. So where can we see these gamakatsu knives?
So really what we're seeing right now, we just launched these, so you're not seeing them in a lot of places at retail. The gamakatsu.com is really probably the best place to go and check them out. We don't have them available like right now at retail, but that's being remedied real quick. The fillet knives are starting to catch on. We just launched them at the sports shows this last year, so the website's probably going to be the best place to check them out.
So you can purchase them now at gamakatsu.com and then watch for them in your local tackle retailer.
That's correct. One last thing I want to remind listeners of is on the fillet knives, we did what's called a diamond-like coat carbon finish on the blades. They're a black blade. And we did that purposely because that, it prevents a lot of the corrosion and the things that we deal with when we're in a saltwater environment. So that carbon-like finish is really a nice addition to these knives.
So it's a high carbon steel, which definitely has corrosion issues, but by putting that finish on it, it doesn't corrode as easily.
That's correct. Correct. And as long as you touch those, the edges touch up, they touch up really well. We've got one of our guys, Joe, in our office that does a tremendous amount of salmon fishing. He's been using the prototype knives all season last year, and he just can't keep talking. He just keeps talking about how great they are. So,
yeah,
nice grip, nice. It's got a blade protector. They're priced well, and should be a good thing to add to your fish catching arsenal. Sure.
Nothing holds an edge like high carbon steel, no doubt about it. Hey, Ted from Gamakatsu, the new line of knives, both fillet knives as well as everyday carry knives. Gamakatsu.com is the place. Ted, thanks for joining us, and congratulations on the new introduction to a great lineup.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Hope you have a good rest of your show.
All right. Thanks very much.
Man, Kamikaze is making a lot of good stuff.
From
their Leadhead stuff to their Underspin.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're going to hear tomorrow about how Ricky caught a lot of fish on an MC swim bait down at El Salto on those Gamakatsu underspins.
Can't wait to hear it, man.
Yeah,
exactly.
Some good stuff. Well, phones are packed. Let's jump back into
Let's do it. How about Hills? Hills calling from Ventura. Good morning, Hills.
Good morning, guys. For Captain John, I get all my best information from the radio show, Let's Talk Hook Up. And it seems that what I've been hearing is, you know, to try to take your jig at night and make it glow, it may not be the best thing to do with the time you have, and might be better just to hurry up and get down there. And then is that why this eddy rig, the 16-ounce sinker thing, is working? Because it gets – and plus it doesn't get scoped out?
Yeah, so – and I'm not joking when I say this, but the best – lure, the one I fished with every night last year on the boat, was like a 7-inch piece of number 9 rebar with two hooks hanging off the bottom.
And Seriously.
And it wasn't painted. It was rusted.
Say that again.
Like number 9 rebar, like a 7-inch chunk. Somebody made it and brought it to the boat.
Wow. And that was your best jig.
It was the best one until somebody lost it. And it didn't glow in the dark. It was the same color as the ocean, basically, just rusted rebar. But the whole deal is it just got down super, super fast, and it was straight up and down. I mean, me personally, crazy. I wouldn't be hanging my lure in front of a light. I'd be dropping it down. Those fish, A, they can see really, really well in the dark, and they've got lateral lines, and they've got ways to pick up on things that whiz by their head that don't even involve seeing it. It's like a reactionary strike. And if something that's black or rust-colored can get bit at 300 feet in the middle of the night, anything else can. The name of the game is you just need to get it down there straight up and down as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Get it in their face.
Yeah.
In their zone. How important is it to mark your line or use like Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore?
It's super helpful. It is. I mean,
you got to know where you are, right?
Yeah. I mean, our rods and reels on the boat, I think one of them was marked, but it does make it super helpful. You know, you're driving around in the middle of the night and the guy says, all right, drop them down to, you know, 30 fathoms or 40 fathoms, whatever, 280, 200 feet, you really have no idea to know when you're at 200 feet unless you get a bite. And if they're biting good, that's what's going to let you know that you're in the right place. But it is super helpful if you have some kind of metric on your, some way to tell how
reference.
Deep you are. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Hills. Appreciate that. Hey, another question from Dave in San Diego about nighttime fishing. How do you choose the right jig size based on fish or current? What do you suggest as far as a hook setup, too? So does it change with the wind, the current setup, that kind of thing?
Sure. I mean, again, the whole idea is that the boat stops on a layer of fish and you want to get your jig into the middle of that fish. So the more wind and the more current you have, the more your lure, the more your jig is going to go away from the boat as it goes down. You know, it's all physics, really. So definitely if you're dealing with a lot of wind or current, you want to go big, go heavy, so that when you let it go, it's going as straight down as possible. I use that piece of rebar, which is probably the heaviest jig on the boat, regardless of conditions. Because if there's no wind and there's no current, you're still going straight down. It's just as functional. As far as hooks go, you know, that jig I always fished had two hooks on the bottom. And a lot of these jigs have that hook up on the top, which we've caught a lot of fish where that hook on top played a pretty significant role. It definitely makes it a lot more dangerous. You know, that's one thing I've noticed the last couple of years is, you know, those things hit the deck and those hooks are super sharp and you've got two hooked in the mouth and the one on the top's flipping around and it goes into someone's calf or into their thigh.
Mm.
So that's definitely like a new thing that we're having to take into consideration every night when we're fishing. But that, especially on those smaller ones, a lot of times you get the two bottom hooks in the mouth and then that top hook is hooked in the side and it kind of immobilizes the fish. So it definitely has its advantages, you know, but as far as guys have different theories and different personal preferences on what kind of hook setups they have, so kind of whatever works for you.
So that rebar you were using only had hooks on the bottom?
It did. It had two on the bottom.
Wow, crazy. Right. I love that idea. I mean,
I've got a milk crate full of rebar in my backyard that I'm going
to start making
up
some,
here one day. Yeah.
Yeah. How big is number 7 rebar?
Or
number 9?
Number 9. It's like you know, maybe an inch.
Oh, it's big. It's big rebar. Mm-hmm. It's not the stuff you do using at your house.
No.
No. It's like big, like giant structure rebar.
Yeah. I've got piles of rebar for all my lobster gear, so I've got an unlimited source for lures.
How cool is that?
And how do you cut it?
You need a big chop saw.
Your big chop saw with a metal blade.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Crazy. It's
Corey,
good stuff.
You got a good text, huh?
Yeah, it's a good one. It comes from Curtis in Santee, and it goes along with the nighttime stuff, too. He says, while fighting fish on the boat, when do you like holding the rod in the arms versus the rail? And he says, I make custom fishing rods and was wondering when to have extended foregrips. Besides heavy nighttime fishing, should we be putting the rod on the rail with either a jig stick or a bait rod? He says, thanks, Curtis and Santee.
So, I mean, there's not necessarily a definitive answer to that. A lot of it, like if I'm fighting a fish, it just, at that particular time, what's going to work best and what's going to feel best for me. When that fish is away from the boat, personally, I have the rod butt, you know, in my hip. And I'm pulling on it. You know, if the fish is away from the boat, you're going to have a tough time finding it on the rail. You're going to be on your knees, and the angles are just wrong. The best time to have the rod on the rail is when the thing is straight up and down, and it's alongside the boat. That's when you're going to get that fulcrum from the rail, and you can put pressure on it. You can bring the fish up. I've definitely seen, you know, a lot of guys, either they get tired or they get winded, and they're on their knees with their rod on the rail, and the fish is, you know, out away from the boat, and it's not really advantageous at that point. At some point, you got to stand up and pull on the fish. And you want to be mobile, too. Those fish make long trips up and down the boat. And when guys are, you know, hell-bent on staying glued to the rail, it makes it real tough for them to stay on top of your fish. And one thing about going up and down the side of the boat is, see it all the time where the guy's got, it's either in a rod belt or it's pinned to his leg, and you're trying to walk up and down the side of the boat and stay out of tangles. I always tell guys at that point, put your rod underneath your arm. Put it underneath your left arm so that you're mobile. Yeah, or just hold it so that you're mobile and you can dodge and you can move. When you're squared off perpendicular to the rail with the rod stuffed into a belt, it makes it really tough to move. You want to be able to move quickly.
So the rail, really, when you're straight up and down, is like the best-case scenario. But when the fish is out away from the boat, it's stand up and literally put a bend in the rod and power the fish to the boat at that point.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right.
Good stuff.
Good. Let's jump into the phones.
Let's do it. How about Jeff? Jeff, calling from Ramona. Appreciate you joining us, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, guys. Hey, John. I just got a quick question. It's kind of off the topic of bluefin, but do you ever come across or have you have any information on big eye tuna? Do the big eye, are they local or are they deep or are they offshore? Because fish markets, I see them, but I never see any counts on them or hear about them. I was just curious. Love the taste of it. So just want to know if you had any information on that.
I mean, I'm not a big eye expert, but I know the majority of the time, like a lot of these longliners that fish way, way, way out west catch big eye on a far more regular basis than we would here. I know last year there were some caught up north. I forget, San Francisco or Monterey. Those guys caught
a
couple.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and there's a couple caught here every year. I mean, back in the day, you know, like when I first bought the boat or years prior to that, we had really good big eye fishing here at times.
Yeah. I hate to say this, but it's usually associated with albacore years, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'd have
colder water. Yeah.
Kelps for 70 or 80 of those things. They're nice ones.
I think you're onto something.
Yeah.
Albacore's going to bite this year, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well,
somewhere.
Somewhere.
Like Rick says, you keep predicting it, right?
It's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. So we could see big eye. It could happen.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys saw in the news that, you know, those Portuguese.
I was waiting
wind
for you to bring it up. Yeah.
Are starting to wash up on the beaches.
They're all over the place.
All over.
Typically, in the years where we really had fantastic albacore fishing, there was a ton of those wind sailors in the water, and they're starting to wash up. They're around.
Yeah, I saw them. I went surfing the other day for the first time in a couple of months, and they were everywhere. Yeah, for sure.
What's good to say?
I was like, wow, I haven't seen those in.
Yeah.
When was the last time we saw those? Like the 90s, right?
Albacore.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years we've seen them here and there, but not
to the volume
where the ocean's carpeted in them.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good signal.
Yeah.
It means the ocean is alive, for sure. Hey, got a great text here from John in Carson. He says, good morning, guys. I haven't been on the Islander since it was in San Pedro, and I was wondering what the changes have made, if any, that you did when it moved here to San Diego and you bought it. Love the boat back in the day. And I'll tell you what, you would love the boat today, too.
Yeah, so it's got new engines in it. It's got a brand new bait tank on it. It's got a new roof. The Portuguese all new. There's a lot of we've done a construction project that just needed to be done with time. As far as the interior layout, yeah, the galley's been remodeled, so it'll look a little bit different. Staterooms are pretty much the same as they were before. But
just more, a little more comfortable, nicer bedding and stuff like that.
Yeah, and some changes, like I said, to the deck. The bait tank's new, different fish hold systems. But the bones are still very similar. There's no more organ in the front of the boat like they used to have back in the day.
Our organ?
There used to be a big organ in the front.
An organ?
Yeah.
You mean like
a piano,
that you play?
Like a church.
What? Yeah. Get out of here. Come on.
Yeah.
Up in the galley?
Yeah, in the forward part of the galley.
Oh,
I forget who ran the boat, but he'd come down and play during dinner.
No kidding.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. Wait, what?
That's crazy.
Probably not going to bring that back.
No, I don't think so.
No.
All right.
No need.
That's great.
Hey, I have a great text here, Peter, if I can read
Go
this.
For
this
it.
Comes from Ken in North County, an old iron worker. You ready for this one? Number 9 rebar, he says, is 3.4 pounds per foot.
All right.
Yeah, that's
3.4
right.
pounds per foot.
That's heavy.
So the one I was using was probably a pound and a half.
Yeah. There it is. Wow. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate
right.
that.
Pound and a half. So that's good. All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
I don't know how many grams that is.
That's, right? It's all good.
It's heavy.
Right. Hey, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Boys. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I got to tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop, like the fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTripex series. Hobie took the best-selling I-11S and made it even better, then added new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs. Featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair style seat that is comfortable. Or the all new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar sized kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop. Right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at FastLaneKayaking.com.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
This is Bob Hoots at Costa Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program, from bay bass to bluefin. I wear Costas to see what's out there. Costas are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Costa was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. CostaSunglasses.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, and John's going to have the honors of flipping the coin.
We have picked a texter and a caller, and
it's a caller.
It looks like a caller.
Okay, yeah. It's going to Jeff. Jeff in Ramona. Congratulations, man. $300 Costa gift certificate.
Yeah, and thank you to all the callers today. Busy, busy morning, and thank you to all the texters, too. And it was really, really a busy morning. We didn't get time to get to them all, but we tried to get to as many as possible. And, John, great job. We're so excited for the Islander season this year, and it's kicking off in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, May 2nd is our first trip.
May
like
2nd.
I said, in May, we've still got quite a few openings on
various
trips.
Which, if you remember, and we've been telling you this every show, May was the number one month last year for bluefin tuna fishing. So if you want to go fishing, that would be a good choice.
Yes.
For sure. So how do we book a trip on the island or want to go on one of those May trips or any of the trips that have availability?
To the easiest way is to either call Fisherman's Landing at, what is it,
619-221-8500.
Yeah, or go to fishermanslanding.com and you can book online. It's got our entire schedule, and that's the way to do it. If you want information about the boat, you can go to islandersportfishing.com.
Islandersportfishing.com. And don't forget, when you book your trip, whether it be online or calling Fisherman's Landing live, don't forget to reserve your stateroom, too.
And your fish processing.
And your fish processing. Don't forget about fisherman's processing. Yeah,
more important than your stateroom, probably.
Yeah, the both of them are. Yeah, more important. This, it depends on. Yeah. I like a comfortable place.
Right.
That's why I like the Islander, because they have comfortable staterooms for sure.
All the way around.
Yeah, for sure. Everything about it. What about if they go on islandersportfishing.com or they go to fishermanslanding.com and they see a trip they want to go on and it's full? Do you have a wait list?
We do. The office maintains a wait list. And,
I think you can actually do it right online, maybe get on the wait list.
I think you can. Yeah, you can.
So, or just call them.
There's cancellations all the time for one reason or another.
Yeah,
so I would get on the wait list. We put a lot of people on the boat last year that were on wait lists.
Yeah. So anywhere from a 3-2 or a day and a half trip.
Yeah.
That's kind of your specialty.
Yeah. I think we have a couple 4-day charters, but yeah, day and a half, 2-day, and 3 days.
And then if you want to charter the boat.
Yeah. If you want to charter the boat, you can call 619-224-4388 and we might be able to find something in there.
All right, there you go. And you can find that at islandersportfishing.com. More information. Right. Thank you. Thanks, Corey, for being here. And thank you out there for all your texts, all your calls, and all your support of Let's Talk Hookup. We sure appreciate you out there. We want to thank Christian for manning those busy phones today and manning the board for us. And, of course, Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Adam will have this podcast up in a matter of moments right after the show. If you missed any part of it, you want to be sure to hear it. To tomorrow morning, hey, I'm headed for our Loreto Rumble, but Rick will be back from El Salto and Corey will be here with them. And tomorrow morning, Rosie and Jeff from Cedro Sport Fishing. It's going to be a great show tomorrow morning, 7 and 9 a.m., right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.